We have Dave Fleming, our 95.7 The Game Giants insider and voice of the San Francisco Giants, joining us right now on the River Islands guest line. Dave, good morning. Joe Spadotti alongside Sam Lubman, who is filling in for Joe Shasky. And let's just pick up last night. I mean, they needed that desperately. It looked like it was going to get away from them. So Camilo goes two innings, blown save, but gets the win. Wow, did they need that one?
They did, and I'm glad they got it. And it was, you know, in the end, it was, you know, maybe you could say like a character builder or whatever. I'm sure everybody felt really good about how hard they fought to get that win. They got to get some that are easier than that. Like, it just right now, everything for this team is so difficult. And I think part of why they haven't played well the last couple of weeks is the cumulative effect of so many close games and, you know, never having games in either direction where you can just breathe. The bullpen's, you know, just had to work so hard. There have been almost no games where they haven't come in where every pitch feels like the game's on the line. And I think after a half a season of that, that starts to take a toll. So anyway, it was a great win. They really, really need to find some way to have some games that don't come down to the last pitch and they'll, you know, come down in the last four innings to where you feel like every single pitch the game's on the line. But nice win last night for sure.
Yeah, it would certainly make bedtime less stressful when it doesn't come after a very tight game last night, Dave. A guy I look at, he had a great night last night. It's Jung Hoo Lee, his first three-hit game in almost 2 months. And Dave, I think it's no coincidence the Giants got off to a great start in April, and Jung Hoo Lee was hitting the ball to all sides of the field and was looking really good doing it. The last 2 months, he hasn't been hitting well, and the Giants' record hasn't been that great either. Again, the three hits last night, how encouraging was that to see from him last night? And just from what you've seen from Jung Hoo Lee, what do you think has been different about Jung Hoo Lee now versus the Jung Hoo Lee we were seeing back in April?
Yeah, I do agree with you that there's a direct correlation between how he's going and how this offense is going. And that's probably not totally fair to him. Once Devers settles in and you get Bryce Eldridge up here and, it shouldn't be that Jung Hoo is the guy that is sort of dictating how this offense goes. But right now, you know, you look up and down that lineup, they're thin and they do need him. And so it was huge last night that he had that game. What's the difference between then and now? I think a lot of it for him is just purely, he is getting pitched differently. I do think it's been pretty obvious that the last, you know, a month, he is seeing just a relentless array of pitches away. Like, teams are just staying away. And he hasn't made that adjustment yet where he's beating them to left field or center field. And we saw a little bit of that in April, but I do think he's going to have to work on that. Like, whether he gets a little closer to the plate or is a little less wide open with his stance, changes his bat path just slightly, because we've seen a lot of pop-ups and fly balls to left field, and that's not his game. So I think he has been pitched pretty one note over the last many weeks, and whether he can make that adjustment now or whether it's going to take a little more time, it would be understandable if it does, because he's still a very inexperienced big league player. I think a lot of it is just pure confidence. This is probably the first time he's struggled like this ever in his whole life at anything. And he puts a lot on himself. Jung Hoo really, really cares about doing right for the team and being a good teammate. He probably puts too much on himself in that regard, and it's been wearing on him. So I'm glad he had last night's game. It would help him a lot if he could just free up and be a little bit more confident, and maybe last night is a step in that direction.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, Joe Spadotti, alongside Sam Lubman, who's filling in for Joe Shasky. Big story this week, Dave, obviously, was Buster Posey picking up that option on one Bob Melvin, manager of the San Francisco Giants. What did you make of the timing of that and some of the comments from Buster saying, you know what, you can say all you want about Bob, the coaching staff, but it's on me at the end of the day when I construct this roster?
Yeah, he said it's on me, but he also really implied it's on the players. And I think that's part of why he did it. You know, when you're not playing well and there starts to be some whispers, whether that was happening in the clubhouse, which I never detected, but, you know, you start to hear callers into your show and, you know, commenters on the stories or whatever saying, you know, Bob's got to go and what's this coaching staff doing? And, you know, those things start to happen when you're struggling as a team. And I think Buster wanted to make it clear that he wasn't placing the blame for the last couple weeks at the feet of the coaches or the manager. And Buster's been there as a player, and he knows, you know, there's only so much. The manager's important. It's not to say that it's not important, but you never want a scenario where the players are thinking that, where they're thinking, well, it's not up to me. Something else is the reason this has gone wrong. And I don't know if that had really anything to do with the timing of it, or he just wanted to make sure that Bob and the coaches were a little more comfortable. It's easy to get uncomfortable, even if you put on a brave face and say nothing about it. You know, when things start to go poorly, it's human nature to kind of worry about what the implications of that are going to be. But Bob's done a really good job this year. Overall, the coaches work hard every day. That's not the reason why the Giants have struggled, and I think Buster wanted to tell everybody that.
Yeah, Dave, you were on our show a lot last year, and you mentioned a couple times you saw a more fiery Bob Melvin in the past than you've seen in the past. You're around him a lot more than I am this year. I've definitely noticed that, Bob, there's a more of an intensity around him. But I'm just curious, from what you're seeing from Bob Melvin, do you see that much of a fiery Bob Melvin this year as much as you maybe saw last year?
Yeah, I think in a slightly different way. I do think he's been more, and I don't want this to come across as a pejorative, I think he has been more comfortable this year, which is a good thing. Like, I think I do think Bob last year was getting to know everybody and maybe was a little bit more on edge just because of that. And I think now he's more comfortable with everybody around him, and that's natural. So I think that's a good thing. I don't want that to be interpreted as, oh gosh, now he's hit the comfort zone and that edge is gone. I think he's been pretty feisty, and I think he might see a little more of that here going forward, of him challenging some players. You know, that's almost never going to be public because that's just not the way that he does it. But I, you know, in the last couple days, there've been a couple guys that he has privately challenged. And I think, you know, maybe we're starting to see some of the response of that in some individual performances. You can't do that too much. You know, you got to save those moments. But I think that I know that he's definitely willing to do that kind of stuff.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman, who's filling in for Joe Shasky. Dave, obviously courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And Dave, obviously, they're looking for the split today against the Diamondbacks, which would be massive heading into a three-game series in Sacramento, a AAA ballpark. We all very know A's struggling to pitch there. But the Giants even if it's a struggling pitcher right now, it feels like the Giants' bats have been the slump buster for guys like Zach Gallen, who had his best start by far, it felt like, of the season. A guy in the past who's pitched well, but this season, God, he felt like a 5.5 ERA. He looked like a Cy Young at some points. During that Giants game, he had 10 strikeouts. Obviously, they got a win over Merrill Kelly yesterday. He did have a quality start. But, I mean, Robbie Ray going on the bump tonight. Landon Roop struggled a little bit yesterday. Just how massive is this stress of baseball for this team, starting with the A's, and then obviously this homestand coming up, Dave, get the Phillies and the Dodgers?
Yeah, you can't get buried here before the break. It's a very important stretch. And a lot of that is on the offense. Like, the pitching has started to wear down a little bit, and the pitching hasn't been as perfect. And the formula for this team is still win with pitching. And I think, you know, that is still how they need to, and they know that. Like, the path forward for this team is to dominate teams with their pitching. But while that's not happening, the dominance has not been there here. I mean, even their best pitchers are going through a period now where the dominance hasn't quite been the same. You gotta have, and it's been every night for the Giants, 5 hits, 6 hits, 4 hits, 5 hits. Like, you gotta put more pressure on these opponents, and they just have done a really poor job of that lately and sustaining rallies, giving themselves more opportunities. It's one thing to hone in and focus on, okay, they're not getting the hit with the runner in scoring position. There have been just long stretches here where they aren't getting any of those chances. And so they got to do better. And that starts tonight. The Diamondbacks are relentless. They have a good offensive team, even though they're missing one of the best hitters in the game. Robbie Ray's really good. The Giants have a ton of faith in him. But you're facing a starter who's got a 5.5 ERA tonight, and you got to be able to score some runs against him. So it's a really important stretch, and the Giants need more of what they got last night. They need that a lot more consistently, and you're going to get Chapman back here real soon, like a matter of days, and Casey Schmidt is probably going to come back real soon, and that's going to help. So then, all right, let's go. Adamas, Patrick Bailey, Jung-Hoo Lee, Wilmer Flores, guys who have all been struggling. They need much more from those guys.
You know, Dave, you mentioned, you know, the pitchers kind of losing their dominance there over the last bit of a stretch. I think they got a 4.56 ERA over the last 17 games going into last night. But you also mentioned at the start here that, you know, the hitters are kind of stressed out by all the close games. I'm kind of curious. I'm curious your thoughts on this. When you got like Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Landon Roop going out there, and they're getting maybe one or two runs of support, in the same way that maybe the close games are wearing on the hitters, are we starting to see these close games and the lack of run support and the small margins for error, is that kind of starting to have a negative impact on the pitchers and the bullpen as well?
Could be. I mean, part of it is just, you know, it builds up over time where you just never have an outing that's not 100% full throttle, full, you know, concentration. And the starting pitchers are probably always going to be like that, but there's definitely something to that where if you're always pitching in a close game, you know, that might have an effect over time. And then there's just no doubt that human nature creeps in where all of these guys start to feel like, and that they say that it's not happening, but I think it would just, it's almost impossible for it not to happen. Where it's just like you feel like if I make one mistake here, that's it. That's going to cost us our chance to win this game. And that's a tough, really tough way to pitch at this level. So I think it'd be, even though I'm not hearing anybody say that to me, I think it would be almost impossible for that not to happen to some degree.
Yeah, and obviously a great way to get the pitchers these big leads is to take advantages at the plate, but there's a trend that I've noticed over the last few weeks, and Grant Brisby of The Athletic, he put pen to paper on it over the weekend. It's the Giants' habit of just taking fastballs right down the middle. Devers had a few on Monday night. Ramos' first at-bat on Tuesday, there were two right over the middle of the plate that he looked at before striking out on the third pitch on the outside of the strike zone. And the Giants, statistically, they're up in amongst the league leaders in terms of teams taking fastballs right down the middle. I'm curious, are you noticing that trend too? And it's kind of hard to kind of understand, like, why is that happening? And, you know, when Devers takes a fastball right down the middle, I think that is a pitch that he should be planting in the seats. What do you make of this trend of the Giants taking these pitches right over the heart of the plate?
Yeah, I mean, look, all big league hitters, I say all, 98% of big league hitters are doing some version of guesswork. You know, big league hitters go up there with a game plan. They're looking for a pitch. They're looking for speed. They're looking location, some version of that. And the Giants definitely have more than their fair share of hitters who are doing that to a high degree. And it's, you know, it's not the way I'll say this. That is not the way that Pat Burrell is saying, like, here's our game plan. That is a personal preference, and the hitters who do it more than others, that's just the way they want to do it. Now, the guys that you named off are not the ones that would come top of mind to me to be the ones who, you know, when I watch the games, really, really feel to me like that's the style of hitter that Devers and Ramos are. I think Devers and Ramos are, you know, they have a game plan against a certain guy, looking certain pitch, but they're also a little bit more aggressive. And I do think that, you know, I believe that that's a hard way to be all the time. You got to have some version of that to succeed at this level. You just have to. Stuff's too good. You can't just go up there. I'm just going to see pitch, hit pitch. Really, really doesn't work that way. Like it, that's too hard at this level. You got to have more of a game plan and an attack. But big picture wise, this team is the worst fastball hitting team in the big leagues in terms of production and in terms of that passivity against fastballs. That must change. Like you cannot be a good offensive team and be the worst team against fastballs. And so however that gets accomplished, and I think for a bunch of the individual hitters, it's on them. Like they gotta, that approach has to be tweaked a little bit. A little to my eyes, and this is really easy for me to say sitting 200 feet up above watching every game, but a little too much dedication to the idea of looking for a certain pitch over and over and over again, as opposed to maybe being a little more natural of a hitter. And just, you know, I think Christian Koss is kind of a good role model. Like, you know, not everybody can be that style of hitter and not everybody should be, but, you know, just kind of stick your face in there and compete and battle and fight off some pitches. And, you know, to me, watch him hit and the way he was hitting before he got hurt felt more like that than what you see from a lot of Giants hitters.
Really good stuff, Dave. Before you go on your way out, as we're talking to Dave Fleming, our Giants broadcaster and our 95.7 The Game insider, you're also a tapped in Warriors guy too. And our big conversation today is, I don't know what's going on with all the fans thinking the sky's falling because the Warriors aren't doing these massive moves. I feel like we got short-term memory, Dave. Like, can you talk these people down? The Warriors are fine in next season. They made their big splash. We got Jimmy.
That is definitely true. What would people want? What do they want them to do? I guess I'm a little out of touch here, not home the last couple of days. Like, what is it that they think they should be doing?
Well, they wanted Giannis. I mean, first and foremost, they thought they could get Giannis. We want, you know, DeAndre. All of a sudden, missing out on DeAndre Ayton, Dave, it's got Warriors fans just in a puff.
All up
here
in the fields, yeah. Morning, Dave. It's been rough.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, like, what? Why on earth would anybody be? I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but that is not the make or break move that's going to bring a championship back to San Francisco. So, yeah, everybody needs to calm down a little. Jimmy Butler is going to be a great fit here with Steph Curry, with Draymond Green, with those younger guys. I'm not saying they should be done and shouldn't be looking to improve the team. I think they're always looking to improve the team, but I haven't seen one move out there of anybody. You know, it was interesting to see the guy Miles Turner. And in a way, I always thought he could have been a fit for the Warriors, just the way he plays. You know, a big guy who can shoot. That's the one thing I think, like, that to me, when I watch the Warriors play, that I'd sort of be looking for that. That doesn't scream DeAndre Ayton to me. Maybe I need to watch some more DeAndre Ayton, but see if there's a move in them for something like that.
Awesome, Dave. Before we get you out of here, big weekend for the Giants up in the state capitol against the A's. As someone growing up as a Giants fan, I was always very excited when the A's and Giants got together. Those games were always a lot of fun. I'm just curious for you, you know, again, it's a new location. It's in Sacramento. I'm not going to lie. When I saw the schedule last year and I saw these two teams were going to be in the state capitol for the 4th of July, I was like, wow, that seems like it'll be a very fun weekend. I'm just kind of curious, when you look at this rivalry, do you consider it a rivalry? And I guess, what are some just Giants-A's moments that you've been on the mic for over the years that, you know, when you think about great moments that pop up to mind for you?
Well, I do think it's a rivalry. I do. I feel like less so than it used to be. I mean, the Bay Bridge thing made it a rivalry, and now that it's different, I probably feel a little differently about it. I think it is going to be a really interesting scene. I mean, these are A's home games a bit, but it is not going to feel like that, I don't think. I mean, I think the Giants fans are going to pack that place. So I expect them to feel like Giants home games this weekend, which is probably going to make the A's a little unhappy, but I think that's what's coming. You know, great moments in the rivalry that I remember. I remember the two home runs in 2021 that, you know, Bob Melvin still would be pained by, I would think. I guess Bob wasn't there, but those were those were huge. Lamont Wade and Donovan Solano, when the Giants were churning towards the division championship and fighting every day with the Dodgers. I mean, those were just incredible late game home runs. I remember Jarrett Parker's 3-home run game. I remember Bonds and his exploits over at the Coliseum. Matt Cain had one of his all-time greatest games against the A's over in Oakland one time.
Yeah, the one-hitter, right?
There are a lot of games that it, even just saying that, immediately popped into mind. But I am interested to see how this goes. I mean, I think it's going to feel like a big-time atmosphere, even though it's a small stadium. That place is going to be packed, and I think Giants fans are going to be there in big numbers.
I remember Jarrett Parker once upon a time. God, that was like 10 years ago.
That was the Hudson Zito game.
Yeah. There you go. But then they both of them last like not even an inning. That was the good times right there. Dave, we really appreciate it, man. I hope you have a happy 4th of July, and we'll do it again soon.
Well, everybody else, enjoy your barbecue and beers and all that. We're going to grind it out and give you some baseball to watch and listen to. So
that's what
talk to you guys soon.
We're going to love it. Thank you. That is Dave Fleming, our 95.7 The Game Giants Insider.